Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, happy New Year's Eve. This is Trouble with the Snap Podcast, 2019 year in review. For Tyler Hayward, I'm Jay File. Excited about this show. We've got a lot to cover on the episode. It's been busy for us. Holidays always are, and all crazy shoppers, crazy traffic. Just dealt with that in wonderful Ann Arbor, Michigan. But we get to slow down and talk about the whole year of 2019, and there's a lot to cover and a lot of excitement. I'm going to start with a couple of memories here. We'll get Tyler's input. Tyler's with me already. What a great year it was. I mean, 2019, when you look at the basketball seasons for both Michigan and Michigan State, I thought ending the season was well appropriate at the Breslin Center, last game of the year. The winner gets a piece of the Big Ten regular season championship. Spartans win it. And then how appropriate, again, that we end the Big Ten tournament with Michigan and Michigan State. And, of course, yes, the Spartans won. But it was just a great year for basketball. I really thought that it was outstanding. It was nice to see the Spartans make the Final Four, Michigan back to the Sweet 16. It was a great year for basketball in this state. It truly was. And, you know, we got a young player. I know this is not Michigan State related, but a recruit, you know, ranked number one in the country, Imani Bates, in this state. So this state really had a great year, to be honest. And football, you know, up and down, but still a lot of positive. But let's get Tyler on. Tyler, obviously, I know you want to talk basketball first, of course, too. We just prepped for this. I mean, it was just an outstanding year. Talk about some memories, though, because it was really interesting. We haven't really had a basketball season like that.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, I mean, obviously my favorite memory is the Big Ten tournament championship, because I had an opportunity to go. I was there, and it was a fantastic game. I think I got put in the wrong section. There was a lot of blue and yellow around me, but, you know, it is what it is at that point, especially with the end result. You know, Cash is taking it on the seven-footer. Kind of gave Teske a headache all season long, so that I thought that was something kind of interesting, because you saw some switches with Winston and Teske throughout last season, and Winston actually handled Teske pretty well for the most part, given the size difference. But
I think you're talking Tillman.
Yeah,
Tillman you're talking about. Yeah.
No, I'm saying Winston.
I got you.
Winston would switch and cover Teske. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
no, you're right.
Forced Teske into a few travels, ripped him a few times. Like, he bodied him up well. I mean, that was always interesting for me, because, you know, I root for the little guy, so it is what it is at that point.
Me too.
Yeah, I like but yeah, that, you know, basketball season was great for both schools. Both lost to a team that, God, defensively there was really no real answer for. And the only thing is if you could hold off a Culver for like the last 5 minutes of a game, you know, you could be looking at a, you know, Michigan State Final Four, which would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
But wouldn't have like made like me hyperventilate or anything like that. But no, I mean, this year, you know, ups and downs, ups being basketball, downs probably being football, but, you know, I mean, it was an interesting year. The decade was just as interesting, probably one of the better decades in regards to a football-basketball combination for both schools in a long time. And, you know, I thought it was fantastic. Obviously, we get to also kick off 2020, right? We're going to talk about that a little bit on the show, a little Alabama-Michigan. So, you know, 2020 is going to be off to a rocking start, and we'll see if it can put 2019 in its rearview.
Yeah, absolutely. And to even piggyback off what Tyler said, we're looking forward to 2020 with this show. You know, with Trouble with Snap, we've been able to get just a little bit of a taste of what you guys can expect. And what you're going to expect a lot in the future is you're really going to get a lot more people on. And we're excited to use this platform, Blog Talk Radio, and also go to Anchor as well. So we're really going to be kind of firing on all cylinders. Tyler and I have been doing these shows for a long time. 2019 was another, you know, up and down year just to talk sports. I mean, Tyler's busy, I'm busy, but we make it happen. And we love talking both Michigan State and Michigan. I thought, you know, my first experience watching a true game with Tyler was this year for me in the Duke game. And that was a memory that I'll never forget. And I am a good luck charm for the Spartans, by the way, even though I'm a Wolverine. The Michigan State Duke game was one of the best games I've ever watched. It was outstanding. It was phenomenal. Sitting next to my colleague, Tyler here, was something to be reckoned with. There's not another fan. If you can find a fan more passionate about this guy, Tyler, that is, let me know where he is, but also let me stay clear. Because I've never seen a fan stand a whole game like that. And it was intense, Tyler. I mean, go back and let's talk about that game. I mean, you can't talk 2019 if we're going to talk Michigan State and not mention the Duke win.
Oh, I mean, that game was a big moment as well. I think especially for Kenny Goins, who he was it was kind of weird. It almost seemed like as the tournament started, the back half of the season kind of started. Nick Ward went down, and more was expected of Kenny. He fizzled, and he had an absolutely terrible tournament. The Duke game comes along, and he does okay defensively. He obviously still had his lapses, being so much smaller than Zion and getting switched out on Barrett a lot. And, I mean, he shot like garbage for the last half of the season. Big Ten tournament, I think he scored 1 point, and that was the free throw that sealed Michigan State.
Yeah.
And he was awful, really, the entire game. He had, I think, 6 points all game. One was a three-pointer with the shot clock winding down, and then obviously, you know, the big one over Zion Williamson. Winston set the little pin-down screen and held Zion back just long enough where going to sink it blocked. And look, it was a big grown-up moment for Michigan State. It's why the expectation for this team is so high this season. And, you know, Cash just showed why he was the best player in the country last year.
Well, he was. He was fantastic. And really, yes, the Duke game was a big step up for Michigan State as a basketball program, because I don't think a lot of people thought Michigan State would do what they did last year. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I think people thought they would have a very good year, but I think people were really expecting Michigan to be the team the way they started. You know, if you look at Michigan, what was it, 15-0 they started, Tyler, until they lost in Madison?
I mean,
they were on a roll.
I think they got
up
17-0.
Yeah, I mean, you know, 17 or 15-0, whatever it was. I think you're right. I think it was 17, could be 16. I have to look back. But that loss in Madison, that was their first loss. And I think that was in February? No, end of January. And I remember watching that game going, wow, this Michigan team it was just been on a roll. So Michigan State kind of just kept plugging away in typical Tom Izzo fashion. And they were absolutely fantastic last year. And the wins against Michigan, I mean, those were big wins. And I want to talk about the last win, because there's always controversy. If you're a fan of both teams, we can always look back. And if you watched the documentary, The Divided We Stand, there was a lot of, you know, awesome stuff on that. Me and Tyler loved it. I've watched it like 5 times. And you look back at that Big Ten tournament final, and Tyler, there was a little controversy at the end. I mean, I don't think it would have made a difference, or we don't know what could have happened, but a review call at the end that was so close. I mean, it could have went either way, and on the ball going out of bounds, goes back to Michigan State. Jordan Poole may not have been fouled at the end, and that was a tough loss. That was one of the tougher losses to take, because you say, man, so many opportunities, you're up. And definitely never going to blame the refs. I mean, we should never go that route. But some tough calls. And I think this basketball rivalry is really, really hit home. I mean, Tyler and I talked about this earlier when we prepped, and we said, boy, we really got to get basketball the attention it deserves, because this rivalry in basketball with now Juwan Howard, this is really setting us into the next year, 2020, the Michigan State, Michigan at the Breslin Center next Sunday. I should say this coming Sunday, and I can't wait, because I really think that sport has really set the tone really for the rivalry. And I think in that documentary, Tyler, talk about that. I mean, I think it really kind of gave people a clear picture of, boy, this basketball rivalry is really good right now.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously excuse me, when you have both schools competing at a very similar level, you know, it just makes the rivalry that much more intense. And I think Jack Ebling said on the Divided We Stand documentary that you spoke about that both that as far as football and basketball goes, you know, there's not another two schools in the country that have a rivalry quite like this. And it goes back to when Michigan Agricultural College was first being formed. Obviously, you know, everyone kind of knows that story. But look, Duke, North Carolina, Florida State, Florida, Miami, and whoever in football. All of those types of rivalries are nice. Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Texas, Oklahoma. But they don't carry the same weight in basketball as they do in football.
No.
Michigan-Michigan State rivalry carries the hatred in both. Obviously, there's a lot of respect between the two in basketball. And that's where Juwan Howard's hiring gets a little interesting, because there's a lot of hatred for Juwan Howard at Michigan State. And one of the things I've always said, if we're being brutally honest, as Michigan State fan, look, I have respected players that, and coaches and stuff at U of M. I've respected players. I have never liked any of them.
Yeah.
I liked John Beilein. Legitimately liked John Beilein. I thought he was fantastic. What he did for a program that couldn't recover after the Chris Webber stuff came out, I mean, he was unbelievable in rebuilding that program. And then after Beilein decides to take his talents to Cleveland, which doesn't have the same ring as taking it to South Beach.
Right.
After Beilein decided to take his talents to Cleveland, you know, you go out and you hire a guy who pretended to take a dump on the block S in the middle of the floor.
It wasn't just him. It was multiple guys.
At Michigan State. Right, but you hired one of those multiples. You hired one of those guys. And so it's going to be interesting to see how Juwan handles himself with the rivalry. Because here's the thing. As much as Juwan Howard hates Michigan State, and I'm sure he still does, I feel like if you're anywhere near the game of basketball, if you're a Coach K or a Roy Williams or a Juwan Howard, or you've grown up watching basketball, I feel like you almost have to respect Tom Izzo no matter what. And it's going to be interesting to see how he takes this. If he can – I don't want to say it like I'm expecting the worst, but if he can maintain the level of civility that John Beilein had, you know, obviously this rivalry, I think it's going to be great. But not only that, it's going to be fun for both fan bases. It can potentially get ugly, though, given Juwan Howard's history. And if he reverts back to, you know, the ways he was, I mean, obviously there's a big difference between being 18 years old and then spending 18 years in the NBA after that. So it's going to be interesting to see how he approaches it. I feel like how he approaches it is going to set the tone for the rivalry for it's Tom Izzo. He is older in age for at least the next 5 years.
I think really what it comes down to is I think there will be more attention behind it. I think the thing that was great about Beilein was is quietly he turned Michigan basketball into a very good program. This isn't quiet now. You know, now you have someone who is very appropriately hired by a school that loves the hype. I mean, I think, let's be honest, Michigan is a hype machine. And I think Juwan Howard has a name that is going to provide more hype. And I think it's going to provide more attention. And I also think it's going to provide more attention in recruiting, which he's done a fantastic job in 2019 already, really getting guys to want to attend a university that, let's just be honest, hasn't been that important in basketball recruiting. Not a lot of big name kids have really looked at Michigan at all. Now they're not only looking at it, but they're committing, they're signing. You know, right now this class, he has three players that are, you know, Zeb Jackson is 65 in the top 100. So let's just say three players in the top 100. But really, you could argue it's maybe three players in the top 50. And we don't know yet. We don't know if Isaiah Todd's going to sign. That will be the big question mark all through 2020. But I think what Juwan brings is that excitement and that intense attitude to this rivalry. And I think it's not going to be the same, but it's okay. I think Juwan understands how great Tom Izzo is, and I think he's said a lot of good things so far. I do think he will be a little more he'll say things like he said the other day, my players are you know, it hurts still, it stings to lose to Michigan State. So I think that he's going to pump it up more on that end, which I think is great. I think it makes Michigan State want to fight harder, and I think that's why it will continue to be an awesome rivalry, because now you're going to have to battle Michigan in recruiting, which hasn't really had to happen for Michigan State. I mean, they've really just had better players typically, or higher rated players. John Beilein did a really good job a couple times getting some bigger name guys, Mitch McGarry, Glenn Robinson, you know, but Trey Burke really wasn't highly, you know, sought after. Ohio State didn't even want him, and he's in their state. So I think that this just kind of goes to say, right, I think this kind of says, hey, this is a different ball game now. But to push towards football more, I mean, it just keeps going up and down for us.
Before we push to football, I want to get your reaction for what happened on Sunday night, because a school where you played point guard lost to Michigan State pretty handily without Cassius Winston. And, I mean, I talked about it on my live feed a little bit. I want to get your reaction to that.
Well, I think that Western Michigan – look, I got to be careful how I choose my words here, because I still talk to a lot of people out there. I thought it was bad. I mean, I just thought Western Michigan did not look very good. But I think it did say that, hey, Michigan State can maybe go into the new year with confidence. You don't have your point guard playing, you know, your potential Big Ten player of the year again. And Foster Lawyer played outstanding. I mean, he did exactly what he should do, hit shots. That's going to be really important for Michigan State, because we've talked about it. You got to have another guy to step up here and there and make plays. I thought Lawyer passed the ball really well, which was surprising. I mean, he made Western Michigan look like fools out there. I thought Rocket Watts had better moments where he was a playmaker. I think that's trouble for, the Maize and Blue this Sunday, because I think when you get a few guys stepping up and get confidence, even if it is against Western Michigan, let's be honest, it's still a Division I team who has pretty decent athletes. It's not a good team, but it can give your role players confidence. And, you know, Aaron Henry hit a couple shots in that looked fluid. Gabe Brown played well again. Other guys played well. Aaron's hit shots. That spells trouble for anyone going to play Michigan State. So what I got out of the Western game was not only frustration, because I'm like, wow, they look horrible, Western Michigan, but oh, Michigan State's getting some other guys to step up. Not good. So we're going to find out a lot Sunday. I think the Thursday and Sunday game, you know, that becomes kind of troubling for Michigan State. People have already talked about, will they have tired legs? I mean, let's be honest. They could play Saturday. Tom Izzo will have his team ready Sunday. I mean, it doesn't matter when they play before that. When they play Michigan, they'll be ready. But again, Tyler, to end on that, I just thought Michigan State's role guys, especially Foster Lawyer, looked great. This is perfect time for them to get confident heading into the new year, and not good for the other teams if those other guys step up.
Yeah, one thing really quick, because let's face it. I mean, we're going to start turning our attention to Michigan, Alabama here, and maybe what the next year looks like for both schools. But I think that I think Illinois, you can easily get tired legs against a team like that. The way that they press and how terrible Cassius Winston is against athletes that press the way that they do. Obviously, another year of experience, a lot more confidence. I feel something like that may help them a little bit. But the way Illinois has done it, now they added not just the athletes that just try to run you off the floor. They added Kofi Coburn, which, by the way, I think the CK is silent just for FCC purposes. Let's be real. We all know what his last name actually is. But Kofi Coburn, I think, also adds a toughness and a presence to this Illinois team that they've not had maybe since Deron Williams. And I think that it could be Thursday's game is huge. You know, I'll probably end up hitting up a live feed on something like that in the next coming days. But yeah, let's turn our attention to football now that we got Pyle all depressed.
Yeah, so depressed for sure. Wish I was still on I'd love to go back to my glory days and been on this Western Michigan's team. I think I easily would have gotten more playing time. But yeah, football, it was up and down, obviously. I want to jump into, let's just talk Alabama first, and then we'll kind of go backwards. 2020 starts off with a bear of a game for Michigan. I think this is going to really say a lot about Michigan football, because this is the type of game where you got to say, look, we got to go out there and compete. We have to battle. It's more so about giving ourselves a chance at least to win. It's not about going out there and winning. I don't think Michigan is nearly, not even close to good enough to beating Alabama, but I think you got to give yourself a chance. And I think what happens in these bowl games that don't seem to matter anymore is sometimes teams do get disinterested. And I think if you go into this thing at halftime and you're either leading, which would be shocking, or you're not getting blown out, I think that would be big for Michigan. I think this is an opportunity for a lot of guys to not only end their career on a high note, but this is a way to prove that, yeah, look at me in the draft perspective. You know who's really needs to play well? Shea Patterson. This is a guy who could really prove his worth as a quarterback, because he actually did have a pretty good year, especially towards the end. But I think that we would be fools if we ever thought Michigan could win. But strange things happen, and I'm really getting tired of the attitude that, oh, they're just going to get killed. If I'm a player for Michigan, I say, I'm tired of hearing this. Let's go out there and just let the chips fall, and let's play as hard as we can play. But I think they're just overmatched. I mean, I really do. But I think this is the time where you can really get some momentum if you play that team straight up hard for three quarters heading into the fourth quarter, and maybe you lose by a touchdown or two or even less. But just compete. That's my thought on this.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you. Look, I feel like if they can just compete, as you said, you know, I think that would be a big win for Michigan. The only problem is when teams are outmatched the way that Michigan is, you do it by breaking a special teams play. And Michigan's been great at that all season. The problem, on the other hand, is Alabama is about as good as shutting down your returners as there is in the country. There's not another player. I mean, there's not another team, statistically speaking, that shuts down your return man. Alabama has the lowest kick return average in the entire nation. Like, I think I was looking it up just a second ago. I feel like opponents' kick return average is half of what Alabama's punt returner is averaging.
Sure.
And that right there is an incredible stat. And, I mean, that's often how you win these types of games if you're the underdog. The problem is Alabama's not the underdog. How they're only favored by 7,
no,
I
no.
don't get that. How they're only favored by 7, I don't understand that at all. And I feel like that's about as sure of that as you can make a 2020, you know, heading to the new year rich. But
I see a lot of fair catch calls this game. Well, let's just fair catch it so we don't get destroyed. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you know how it is. When you return the ball against Alabama, getting to the 15 is you feel like a champion half the time. This is going to be one of those games where just don't turn the ball over, get the ball started at the 25, and let's just play solid football. Anytime if Michigan turns the ball over, they're done. I mean, it's going to be ugly early. I think that's going to be the key to the game. But you're absolutely spot on. This is a team where you're not going to return the football against Alabama. It's just not going to happen.
No, and unfortunately, that's what I think needs to happen because – look, if you don't return that, you need to rely on a big play. Well, Alabama's the only team in the country that hasn't given up a play over 50 yards all season either. And so it really negates – Alabama's defense really negates that speed and space. And I feel like – I mean, you said it. Shea Patterson's got to have a big game. He definitely has to have a better game than his last meeting against Alabama. Now, obviously, there's 2 years and a transfer in between all of that. But look, last time 14-29, I think just 166 yards, no touchdowns, two picks. We're gonna see how much better he actually got. I feel like obviously there's a big difference between this year's Michigan team and, you know, a couple years ago, Ole Miss's team. Obviously, Michigan is much, much better. But, you know, Ole Miss wasn't terrible either when Patterson was there. They weren't terrible.
No.
They were
an average SEC
stretch
team.
Of the imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, average SEC means, you know, still good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, more
well,
or less.
I want to say this. Yeah, I want to say this about Michigan football, and we'll dive into Spartan talk. I think that there's a lot of talent in this Michigan football program right now. This talent needs to finally take that turn. I really think that this needs to be a situation, kind of like what I just said. They have to compete. I mean, you have talent. Is it the talent that Alabama has? No. I mean, I was just listening on 97.1, and I was laughing because they were mentioning how basically in 2016, they had 29 recruits. And it was interesting because in the conversation, they were mentioning how when you over-sign the way Alabama does, what does that mean? That means people get kicked off the team. And that's a thing that people don't understand is they over-sign and they can let guys go. And then that's how it's working right now, where Alabama can sign 29 guys and look at Timmy and say, hey, sorry, Timmy, you got to go. It's just not working. This is not a four-year scholarship. That's what people don't know. It's year by year. And Alabama does this more than anyone, where in 2016 they signed 29 guys. 26 of them, Tyler, were four-star or better. That's incredible. That's absolutely incredible. So what you get out of that is years of recruiting where they have four-star or higher, and that's why it's just so hard to beat them. They're so loaded where it's just you're overmatched. You're going against a team that has more depth than you. And I think that's where Michigan will still fall short. But it's really one of the only teams I could say that about that's not named Ohio State, where I look at Michigan and what they have, and I say, well, they're just overmatched. I mean, there's just too much talent on the other team. I would even argue I don't think Clemson has that much more talent overall than Michigan. I think LSU does this year. I think LSU is one of those – this is one of those seasons where LSU is just loaded, where I don't see them doing this every year. But Alabama's that one team, and you could argue Ohio State too. They're just so talented. But I think this is the year where Michigan's players could really say, you know what, we're pretty darn good too. Let's go out there and battle these guys. Let's prove our worth. And this could be a big thing for Michigan. I mean, it really could. I really hope that's the sentiment. I hope there's some confidence there. I don't expect them to win. I think they're going to lose 38-21 still. I mean, even with all those things I'm saying, I still think Alabama's just too good at receiver. I think they're going to torch that secondary. And I think Don Brown will get exposed again. But I think it's not really his fault. It's just Alabama's too talented. And I think they're going to run the ball, which is going to really hurt Michigan. But, you know, that's just kind of the story for me with Michigan. They got a lot of talent. They're a really good team, but they're just not on that level yet. Michigan State, hey, they win their bowl game. I mean, there's a lot of oh-hum comments about it, and then there's some people that are excited. This is the turning point also for Michigan State. What are you going to do next year to say, look, we're still a darn good program? It's troubling. I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, my stance on it is I'm worried for that program on how far could it go down or could it be miraculously built back up in 1 year. I really believe, Tyler, this is the rebuilding stage. Next year will be a rebuilding year, and you hope that some of those young kids now have 2 years under their belt, and then that 2021 season, 2021 that is, will be a spectacular season. Your thoughts on that, Tyler? I mean, what do you think about that?
No, I'm absolutely with you because, you know, like I said on our most recent feed, the schedule sucks next year for Michigan State. It's just brutal, and you're replacing, you know, three of your four defensive linemen who they didn't exactly live up to the hype, but individually, I mean, they're just superstar players. All four of them, really. Like I said, they just collectively could not get together, and I think that was kind of the theme throughout the entire defense. You know, just great players all the way around. You know, Bocci, Antoine Simmons had a coming out party this year. I mean, obviously, I think there's one exception on the back end, which I think I've given him enough crap, so I'm not going to say his name anymore. I feel like there was one exception on the back end, But, you know, 10 of the 11 guys were all really good. But they just didn't do it together. And I think that that was a really big issue for Michigan State. I think there's potential all the way across the board, though. You know, replacing the defensive line. You know, Jacob Slade had a huge bowl game. Naquan Jones is coming back for his senior season. I know he's a third defensive tackle, but let's face it, the kid's talented enough to go to the NFL.
He's very good, though.
He was very good in the bowl game. Well, I think I said at the beginning of the year, Raekwon and Mike Ponashuk, like, Naquan Jones is an Alabama-level third defensive tackle. Like, that's how good he is. And so he's going to be in there next year. It's going to be his last year, but it's going to be his first season starting. I think that there's guys who are younger. You know, we didn't see a lot of Jack Camper because of his injury, and I was really high on him being that third defensive end. But, you know, they've had other guys step up there. Offensively is where I think the game is really going to change. You know, I think Salem did a good job with the plays, with calling the plays, got guys in spots to make plays, but it was just an issue of execution at that point. And so when you add, obviously we know what my wish list is, Peyton Thorne. When you add him to the mix, by the way, I think Julian Barnett is switching over to a defense with Josiah Scott just declaring for the NFL draft. But you'll still have a lot of talented receivers. Trey Mosley, who I know you're really high on, is going to be there still. Cody White potentially can still be there. Trayvon Morgan, CJ Hayes, both got some starts this season.
Naylor as well. Yeah, Jalen Naylor.
Naylor is going to come back. And not only that, he's going to be redshirted, so he's going to be a sophomore next year. And so you throw all of this youth in there, obviously Ant Williams at running back and then Elijah Collins are both going to be sophomores next year. Your offensive line, your center and your left guard are going to be sophomores next year. Kevin Jarvis is coming back. Devontae Dobbs, Michigan State was able to save his redshirt, so he's going to be a redshirt freshman next year. Trenton Gillison is going to be a sophomore next year who had a big game against Wake Forest, you know, minus the fumble on the little pitch play. So you have all of this youth on offense, and it's going to be there next year, but they're all going to be meshing together really for the first time because a lot of it really hinders on your quarterback's ability to work with the rest of the team. Now, if you start a guy like Peyton Thorne, and let's say he is good enough, let's say if he's Brian Hoyer level good, when you look at all of D'Antonio's quarterbacks, you know, I'd rank it Cook, Cousins, Hoyer in that order. And then Lewerke right under that. If Peyton Thorne is Brian Hoyer level good, you know, this offense in two seasons, not next year like you talked about. I mean, you said it, next year is going to be kind of a rebuild issue, and with how tough the schedule is, you're going to take your L's. But the following season, this offense can be really, really good. And then by that point, your defense, which is going to look completely different next season, is also going to get a year of experience. So two seasons from now is really what I'm banking on. And, excuse me, two seasons is what I'm really banking on, which sucks because next season's going to be rough. But in 2 years, this team can be really good again. Obviously, they do need to make some changes as far as the coaching staff goes. I think there's really only two guys that are completely safe, and that's Ron Burton, the defensive line coach, and that's Brad Salem.
Yeah, no, I would agree. You know, I'm looking at the schedule for next year for Michigan State, and to be honest, I mean, I know that's been the huge outcry that the schedule is a bear next year for Michigan State. I'm really looking at it, and, you know, I mean, you start off, it's kind of weird starting off with a Big Ten opponent first game. I think that's kind of interesting, you know, at home against Northwestern, which will be another team.
Well, that's Jim Delaney's a piece of crap who doesn't know how to work. I mean, we'll just go into
New Year's resolution for 2020. Let's not rip Delaney So we have time. We can rip him now, so it's perfect. But
yeah,
it's just weird.
What, six months before he retires? I mean, we got time to rip him.
We can do 2020 Delaney talk if we need to. That's fine. I mean, but honestly, you know, Ohio State's dealt with it. They've dealt with the first game, you know, Big Ten battle with Indiana a few different times. And I think it's ridiculous. I mean, I don't know why they do that. I think it's just weird scheduling. And then you go right to at BYU, and then, you know, who is always kind of a decent team, who always has enough talent to beat you. Then you're at home against Toledo. And then you got a weird one, Miami, coming into town. That's going to be a fun one. I mean, that's going to be a fun game to kind of see where Miami is and where Michigan State is talent-wise. How are these young players going to perform? And then you go at Iowa, and at Iowa is just never fun, no matter how good or bad they are. I mean, Ohio State can tell you that. I mean, they get blown out a couple of years ago at Iowa City, and then you're home against Michigan, and then you're home against Ohio State. So there's like that four-game stretch where you're sitting here going, wow, you know, 4 weeks in a row we're playing against very good teams, or at least athletic, talented teams. And then you're going right at Indiana. I mean, Indiana is really growing as a program. They recruited better. And then you're at home against Minnesota, and Minnesota is just better right now with Fleck. And then you finally get an off week, and then you go at Penn State. So I kind of see where people are going, ooh, this schedule is going to be a bear. I really think what's killed Michigan State, it'll be 2 years in a row now, is the back-to-back-to-back battles. I mean, you really don't have a break there. I mean, when you look at Miami, Iowa, Michigan, Ohio State, at Indiana, Minnesota, I mean, that's a tough stretch. I mean, that's a real tough stretch. It kind of goes back to what I said about Michigan this year. You got to find a way to, like, go 3-1, or these are the four games. You got to go 3-1 in those games. And I think it's turned out to be that's how the Big Ten's been, where if you go at Iowa, you play well, you win, then you beat Michigan in a rivalry game, and, hey, you lose to Ohio State, but you win against Indiana, Minnesota, now you're right there. You know, you're right there, and that's got to be the mentality still for Michigan State. But I do think that next year will be a very much so rebuilding, trying to figure out who we are as a team. They got a lot of good young players on offense. My concern is defense. I think they have to find a way to be who they were. They have to be aggressive. They got to play fast. They got to get the secondary what it was. There needs to be a chip on the shoulder. I think that comes down to coaching, Tyler. You know that. There needs to be a new face, a young, fresh face that's going to come in and get guys fired up. I think there's been some complacent attitude at Michigan State in football. I think they've kind of expected to just be good on defense, and I think this year it bit them. I think they just didn't play very well on defense. And you can give credit to the Big Ten. No, the Big Ten was a tough conference this year. I mean, Penn State was good. Minnesota was good. Michigan was good at times. Ohio State
Wisconsin
was unbelievable. Wisconsin, I mean, you know, Indiana. Indiana was a big win for Michigan State. I mean, this thing could have really went south if Indiana won that game. It's just a tough conference to win week by week, and that schedule will be tough, but they got the talent. You know, looking forward to 2020, I'll say this. I think this is a perfect year for Michigan State to say, you know what? People think we're going to be bad. People are doubting us. You know, let's play with that old chip. Would you agree, Tyler, that I felt like the chip wasn't there this year. I felt like it was not the same Spartan dog attitude. So my question is, do you think that is true? And do you also, what do you do to change that?
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know if like personally on an individual level for Michigan, for the players, that it was true, but I think in some of the play calling on the defensive end, they were not aggressive. I've beat this horse to death. I feel like, you know, Narduzzi at the end of his time at Michigan State became kind of predictable. I feel Harlan Barnett followed Narduzzi's script. And then for not this season, obviously, but, you know, the last 2 years, you know, Tressel mixed things up defensively. You didn't know where anyone was coming from. You didn't know. Even at the beginning of this year, you look at what Michigan State did against Tulsa. I mean, he blended it. He mixed things up a little bit more than what he did the rest of the entire season. I think Shakir Brown got two sacks against Tulsa coming from his cornerback spot. I didn't see Shakir Brown blitz over the last 8 weeks of the season. Part of that may have been because he was hurt. But You know, I think Brown can obviously be like one of those special guys who can be like the come and get it type players. He just needs to really take that next step athletically. I think he's every bit as good as Justin Lane was, who, I mean, let's be real, he wasn't the greatest cover corner, but he gave you that athleticism to where it's like, no, I'm not throwing it to you. And
yeah,
I think Shakir Brown can be that type of guy. I think moving Julian Barnett over to the other cornerback spot with the loss of Josiah Scott's big, bringing in Darius Snow, who, you know, has a couple different athletes in his family.
Yeah, Darius Snow's a stud. Yeah,
Eric Snow's
stud player.
Kid and Percy Snow's nephew, you know. Well, Eric and Percy both have numbers up in their respective rafters, so Darius Snow can really take over that other safety spot. And he's you have athletic genes like that. You can obviously afford to have him fly all over the field. And so I think mixing up that secondary a little bit that way, Shakir Brown, the athlete, Julian Barnett, obviously an athlete, and Snow is an athlete, and Xavier Henderson has the potential to get there. He won't be he may be the targeted guy, but I thought he played well in spots. This was his first year starting. And so I think you change that defensive backfield mentality, and that affords you to do things up front that you didn't do this year. And I don't know if maybe it was something where Tressel thought, hey, Raekwon, both Ponishuk brothers and Kenny Wilkes, oh, they can get to the quarterback at will. But the problem is the game has changed so much. A lot of quick releases as far as quarterbacks throwing the ball. It's a lot harder to do it with just four guys, no matter how talented they are. And I think Tressel was
absolutely
in that aspect.
Sure. No, I think you're absolutely right on that. I think they sometimes, you know, they were going 3 against 5, 4 and 5 all the time. You can't win that battle every time. There was moments where the D-line still won when they were outnumbered. But, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. They got to get back to that attitude. We're going to be Spartan dogs. We're going to get after the quarterback. We're going to play with our hair on fire. And I think that they will. I do expect them to change. We got a couple minutes, Tyler. Let's do something kind of fun here to end the year. Let's do two resolutions for Michigan State and Michigan. You can go with Michigan State. So one resolution for basketball and then one resolution for football for you on the Michigan State end.
Okay. Oh, God. I mean, it's a resolution for basketball. I'm kind of torn here because obviously I want Tom Izzo to get his second national championship, but I don't think that's possible if they can't stay healthy either. So, you know, my resolution for basketball, just stay away from the trainer. I think that's obviously the first step. You know, we find out Cassius Winston's not playing. You're like, oh, crap, there goes our season. You know, Western's going to be a close game now. No one really saw this coming. And then, obviously, you know, you saw what happened to your WMU Broncos. Just completely manhandled. But I think as long as everybody else can stay healthy, you said it, the role players are starting to get into a little bit of a groove. Kyle Arnes, I don't think we talked about him. He had a great game against Western as well, 4-4 for 3.
Well, go to football because we got a minute and a half. I don't want us to cut out. Go to football. I agree with you on basketball.
Okay.
What's your football?
Okay. Football, keep everybody but Salem and Burton.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's spot on with that. I mean, I thought Brad Salem did good. Me and Tyler have mentioned this all year. I thought Brad Salem did a good job. But those are great resolutions. I think basketball, hey, a Final Four berth, if I was going to talk about state, I think that would be big. I think that would be big this year, get back to the Final Four. For me, with Michigan, basketball-wise, Isaiah Todd signing. I mean, please, let's make it happen. Let's get that recruiting class fired up. Let's get the Fab 4 or 5. Let's get another recruit to come in and sign. That'd be huge. For football, my God, just beat Ohio State. I mean, I think that every Michigan fan saying that, I think that would be the dream. I don't care if they lose every game. The Michigan State game would hurt. I'd have to hear it from all the Sparties, but I just want to beat Ohio State. But, hey, it's been a fun year. 2019 is about to be over. Hope you all have a great New Year's Eve. Be safe. 2020 will be here. Last year, Delaney. We'll talk basketball. We got to get out of here again. Trouble with Snap Podcast. For Tyler Hayward, I'm Jay File. Thanks for tuning in.